Well, I was never known as the sharpest crayon in the box. And now that I'm taking all this medication for a back infection, it's dulled me even a little more. So if I get spaced out and send Steve after me, and maybe we can find our way back, huh? But just to clear up something this morning, Bill, my back trouble is not because of the result of the work of the gospel. It's supporting my family who haven't given due respect at this point for the hard labor I did, and so I want to get after them again. I do daily. See, this back trouble is your fault. I work to provide for you, and least you can do is pay the bills. And I don't get much sympathy from them, and so I don't expect any. We have been blessed in many great ways. But we have had a trying year. We feel like we've been given an opportunity to show our faith, to find out if we had it. Susan's had two major surgeries, another major surgery with her teeth, and put a titanium implant. She's now the bionic woman. And that whole thing costs so much that she's going to wear a football helmet so we can protect her teeth through the deal. I've had three surgeries and cut the end of my finger off. So we've had an eventful year, and it is an opportunity to be on the other end of the stick. I've been in Mexico 21 years. About 18 of it, I was actively getting after people, telling them that they need to quit being wimps and suck it up. You know, your trials and temptations are God's opportunity for you to show your faith. And now I'm being beat on the other end for the first time, and I don't like it. But but that's where we are at this point, and we still love our Lord, and we thank Him for what He's done in our lives and for us, and we want to be a testimony in all things. And this is our opportunity, I suppose, this last year. Brother Lindeloy said that the 50th was his worst year. Well, I turned 50 last year, and this week I turned 51. I hope I slide out of the... Amen. I just soon be healthy again. But I do have a message that I'd like to bring to you tonight. You know, we talk about being called to preach, called for different things. But there's one thing that we're not called to that so many times I think we confuse. We're not called to be a evangelist or do the work of evangelist, should say. We're commanded.
Amen.
It's not an option. It's a command.
Right.
The verses you all know, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. It's not a suggestion. We are commanded as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to go and do the work of an evangelist. Mark, another very, very well-known verse and that most mission conferences talk on, and it says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We are commanded to do these things. And I think so many times that we hide behind the shroud of protection that this work is the Lord's, and as long as we obey to the command in whichever form we feel fit, that's all right. And if God gives increase, praise the Lord. But I'm from another school that we are to be successful in what we do. I don't work as hard as I do because I want to be mediocre. I want to be very good at what I do. Yeah. I'm a perfectionist. I have a hard time working with other people because they don't have the same perfectionist idea. They think a bent nail is fine. And I don't put up with that. They think that hitting it three times to make it go in is sufficient. Once all you need, hit it and get on with it. But we should be successful in what we do. And we should strive to be successful. And to be commonplace and laid back and, well, I've answered the call, I'm doing the work of evangelist, and not have any concept of success. I think we're shortchanging our command. And we're shortchanging our commander. Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to do a mediocre job. He came to fulfill something. Paul answered the responsibility he was given to be successful at something. And to be obedient and nothing more is insufficient. The world is unsaved and going to hell today because Christians have not tried to be successful. They've answered the command. They've been present. They've presented something as a sacrifice to themselves. But with a real intent to be successful, to really win souls. And as I looked through the back last years in Mexico, I see so many times when I was there just because I wanted to be obedient, because I was afraid of the wrath of God for disobedience, and not with a real desire to be successful. had an example just the other day in Mexico. I got a guy that's helping me because I can't bend over if I drop my screwdriver. Or I might bend over for a $100 bill, but I'm not sure. And he has the mentality of most of the world, and definitely most of the evangelists in this world, is that we're advancing the work. I got after him because he after dinner they have this custom down there to go to sleep, you know. And so I was, you know, come on, get going. You did more this morning in an hour than you've done it in 2 hours. You can do better than that. And I was getting on him a little in a nice way without kicking him or anything. And he says, well, I'm advancing the work. And I never left the house with the idea that I was going to advance the work. I left the house with a plan. This is what I'm going to finish today. Completing something is what gives satisfaction. And advancing the gospel in that mentality, to me, is slowing it down. We're not here to advance the gospel. We're here to win a soul, to have a victory, outright victory, to finish something. And we get commonplace to just, I put in my 8 hours and go home. What about having a goal to get it done today, to get this operation done today? And that's my strength in many ways with production, and I always had a goal, a day and a half's work that we're going to get done today. And went out with the concept that we're going to do that today and run till it's finished. And we get lazy. We get laid back. And we leave out and says, well, I'll advance it today. And why are we always just short of getting things done? And I think a lot of it's attitude. And I got a list of things that I've wrote down that I think were needed to be successful in the ministry. First of all, we need to accept the responsibility. Paul said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Paul went out and with great effort, he went to complete the mission that he was given. He accepted responsibility. Accepted in such a way that he had a goal to get it completed. Not just, he was to establish the church on the earth for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went out with a goal to establish that church. And he accepted his responsibility. And like I said, I don't think it's enough to accept the responsibility just because we fear the consequences if we don't. We need to accept the responsibility as it's my responsibility. It's something that's been given to me and I need to take it on as my responsibility. That's something we try to teach the ones that we win down there to Mexico and they start preaching in the streets with us. You need to pick up your own ministry. You need to pick up something that you know that God has called you to do in this area of evangelism, in this area of edifying and exhorting the church. A ministry that's yours, that doesn't depend on whether the gringo shows up or another good brother shows up of any, but it's your own responsibility. And so many times we're there to help someone else and their responsibility. And I started out as a helpmate to others that had a vision. And that's a good start. But we all have a gift according to the Word of God. And that needs to be exhibited by accepting the responsibility that gift brings us. Whether you are a consoler, whether you're a preacher, whether whatever God has given you, the special gift, you need to take it up as your personal responsibility, and it depends on no one else. Is not the Lord sufficient to supply all your needs in completing your gift that He's given you? We say that, but yet so many things are left undone. So many parts of our lives are not fulfilled to the expectations of our Lord because we don't accept that as our personal responsibility.
Amen.
The second thing is that we need authority. And it's a marvelous thing to stand up in front of a crowd and have the written Word of God.
Amen.
To have this authority that is unmovable, to be able to say the Bible says and not back down. Even if they shame us in some way but we have the authority and we don't have to be ashamed of it. We don't have to back down. We don't have to be worried that it's going to fail. It will do its work and it will have its completion. But we hide behind this authority. We need personal authority. You have experienced it. In every room, someone stands up with authority. In every playground, in every sandbox, somebody has authority. We are commanded as ambassadors of God to act as if we have some authority.
Amen. Right.
Personally, we have some authority, not arrogance to rudeness, but authority to command.
Amen. Right.
We need to stand up and say, this Bible says, and then have a life that backs it up that they have to listen.
Right.
Paul was a man of authority. He not only had the Word of God, but he himself with authority. They had a problem in Corinthians, and you know well, a brother was in sin, and he says, take care of it. I'm coming, and I'll take care of it. I can see the place is moving around, because in 2 Corinthians, it's been taken care of. He says, I'll come and take care of it. He didn't say, I'm going to send another verse to you. He says, I'm going to take care of some things when I get there. And we lack in our ministries, whether it be preaching in the streets, whether it be knocking on doors, sitting with somebody in a park bench, on a bus, and witnessing to them, we need to have coming from us an authority that is convincing, that convinces the unbelief, that convinces the wrongdoer. And for that, we need purity in our lives.
Amen.
We can't have authority with men, much less with God, if we're impure in the way we live and our thoughts and what we've included in our lives, what we refuse to take out when God shows it wrong. The purity in our life takes away our authority. Why are we not successful as preachers of the gospel? Why don't we win souls as door knockers? Your and my hypocrisy shines brighter than anything we can say and do. We need to be sincere, honest, unto the Lord. We hide so many things. We think we can hide them from the Lord. We hide them from ourselves. We need to be open and sincere before the Lord, and we need to be sincere in our motive. Why are we really there? Now, people can see through if you're really there because they need the Lord, because you're there to help them, or you're looking for some gain from them. You're looking for another notch in your belt, as I brought another one to Sunday school, so now I got a little star. What is the purpose? What is our motive? God demands purity and sincerity in our very motive for obeying. How many times I've been part of what I've heard others say that, I don't love Mexicans, but I love the Lord and I'm going to obey Him. That goes through us. Like a screaming horn to those around us that I'm only here because I don't want to get God's wrath upon me. I'm not caring for you. Paul made it very clear that he loved those that he witnessed to and those that he won, that he was giving himself, sacrificing himself for their benefit, and they knew that. And therefore he transformed through the authority that he had with all those around him because of his lifestyle, because of his purity of motive, he transformed the world at that day. Started the church on a journey that has touched us onto us. Another thing is our unpreparedness. I remember when I first went to Mexico, I had just come off the farm and a construction site and I didn't know sikkim about nothing about the Bible, about anything important. And, we got into discussions downtown in León, big debates, and my number one line was, I don't know. Unprepared. What authority did I have to convince anyone that what I stood up and read had any value, any worth, any weight, any hope for them? Our unpreparedness takes away any authority we have to properly represent the gospel of Jesus Christ. Does it take away from the gospel itself? No. The gospel is sure and unchangeable. But our effect on people certainly does. And there are people that are unsuccessful today because they have no preparedness in the message that they preach, no knowledge, true knowledge of what they're trying to say. They're living a fantasy. You know, the first preachers sent out, the 70, were told that they didn't need to take anything with them, just open their mouth and God would fill them. But it came time for the Lord to be crucified, and he changed all that. He says, things are different now. He says, before you didn't need to worry about raiment and clothing. You need to take that. You better get a sword. There's some things that you need to prepare yourself for now because it's a different type of ministry going on. Why do we not see success in our ministries? We're unprepared. We need to be convincing, and we need to be convinced ourselves. How can we stand up and preach if we still have those doubts in our own minds? Unless we've been tested and proved, and maybe that's my purpose this year, to be convinced in myself that faith is unfailing and it can carry you through a rough time. That faith can help you when your whole family just throws you out because you've accepted the writings of this book, as we've seen in Mexico so many times. Titus 1:9, it says to exhort and to convince the gainslayer. We have a responsibility to convince the gainslayer, to convince him. We need to be more convincing. I'm not in favor of the antics and all the things that some preachers do to get to act like they're convincing. But we need to have a spirit within us, a physical expression that is convincing. And that's only coming from being convinced ourselves. It says in Jude, to convince all that are evil among you. Why are those evil ones among us still here? Why have they not repented or run away? Because we have not been convincing enough of the many truths that we know. The wrath of God, the pleasure of God, the benefits of salvation. All these things that we should be so convinced of that it comes through us without any refrain, without any twisting. It says in Acts 18:28 that he mightily convinced the Jews. Paul went out with a goal to convince somebody. He was convincing. And we lack that in our ministries, and therefore we're unsuccessful. And another point we find in Romans 12:1. This hit me the other day as I was preparing to say something in our open meeting down in Mexico. You know, I've often said that most people are so spiritual they're no earthly good, and can get lofty and spiritual ideas. And then this verse actually maybe said I was right. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God expects us to present more than a spiritual theology, more than I'm with you in spirit type of attitude. He expects a body. He expects us to physically and corporally, with our bodies, to enter into the ministries that he gave us. So many people that are, I'm with you, I'm behind you. God expects a bodily presence, a physical bodily presence, something more practical than most of us want to think about, because it is a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice to get up out of the chair after a long day's work and go out and knock on doors for 2 or 3 hours. It's a huge sacrifice. It's a huge sacrifice because our bodies resist it so much. It's a sacrifice to forget all the things that are running through your mind as you're waiting for, you know, in Mexico, waiting for the bus, and here you got cars, so you're waiting to get your tank filled up or whatever, and talk to the guy next to you and say, hey, have you heard about the saving grace of Jesus Christ? That takes a physical presence. And today we don't want a physical presence. It's too easy to give an offering. It's too easy to say, I'm with you in spirit. It's too easy to say, I'm praying for you. But you know, I think praying needs to be a physical experience. Say, well, but I got prayers going through my mind. Well, your prayers would be more effective if you were physically involved. On your knees, before the Lord, present your bodies a living sacrifice. We're not physically involved in the ministries that God's given us. In Mexico, we run out and do our thing. We preach in the street or we go have a Bible study. And so many times, that's all it is bodily. We also have to be spiritually involved with our... We have to be a connected, complete... And the next one I think that Paul showed us is that he was self-initiative. Too many people are sitting back waiting for the lead. Too many people are saying, well, if so-and-so goes, I'll go, and if you don't go, I won't. Too many people are sitting back and waiting for some big thing to fall out of the sky and say, there's your gift, and here's all the tools you need to do it with. I see Paul going to do what he was sent to do, whether he knew what he was supposed to do or not. He's packing up and going to Asia, and God has to step in and stop him. Paul, I'm done here. I will not build on another man's foundation. It's time to go somewhere else. I'm going to Asia. That was his logical. He wasn't going to sit around and wait. God had to step in and say, wait a minute. I enjoy your watching your zeal, but I really want you to go this way. And then he was leadable, but he wasn't just sitting waiting for the big emotion, the big finger pointing out of the sky. And he was going to go do something. Amen. And we sat and wait for the handwriting on the wall, for the two eagles to pass by and they drop a note to us or something. I don't know. We look for a sign, and rather than just, I'm here to do something and I'm going to do it.
Right.
And I was just with burden of that tonight, that we really need to have a true desire to become successful in the Lord's work.
Right.
And that means our part. We have the word and his authority, but we have authority because we've earned it by our lifestyle. Are we initiative? Are we looking to where we can step in and do a work? One of the things I've told them down there, people are asking all the time, well, how do you know what you're supposed to do? How do you know what your gift is? And I said, what have you noticed lately that's lacking in the church? Well, so-and-so's down and the other day all this was dirty and so-and-so didn't come to the meeting. And I said, how much more do you need? What you see is what you can do. And if you do it wrong, your elders are here to keep you in line. But do something.
Amen.
Go out of the house in the morning and say, I'm going to accomplish something today.
Amen. Right.
I'm going to be successful.
Amen. 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 Amen.